Hello, Pastor Matthews, Gary and Chen Fen.
Hi.
Hi, so Christy.
Are we really doing another episode?
I know, right?
I thought it ended.
We ended on the last episode.
That's
but
what I thought too.
No, oh, Pastor, we felt it's so your strongly
fault.
About
it's my fault.
It's your fault. No, because you said it is because you said we needed an episode on how to be a chill parent, right?
Like, yes, I think, which is very important.
Yeah. No, I think all of us feel like after the 9 episodes, we really need an episode on how to be a chill parent.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, and so here we are.
Yes.
A really special bonus episode to round off the series on restfully preparing for primary school. So parents, are you ready? Earlier, we spoke of the beauty of the community God wants to bring around us. Today, we want to tap into the wider church community for you and get some parents who are a season ahead of you to share their journeys with us. They've completed the primary school season and seen the highs and the lows of it. So we'll get them to bear their wounds, share their learnings, and most of all, shed light on how to be a chill parent.
Although the Bible teaches us not to look to the past, you know how the scriptures are always telling yes. us, because God is always doing something new in our lives. I know that we can learn from our adventures in the past. I'm sure I'm going to learn from each and every one of our panelists today. And if we approach it with the right spirit, not to lament or condemn ourselves to the past, but to learn from it. And we, you know what? We also do learn from the journeys of those, the others, that are going along the same path. In a recent message that was preached in church, I pondered on this verse in Philippians 4, verse 8, which the verse says would bring peace to us. And it says here in Philippians 4, verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And I love the next verse. It says, "The things which you have learnt and received and heard and saw in me," says the Apostle Paul, "these things do. And the God of peace will be with you."
Amen.
Amen, right?
Yeah.
So question, you know, why this episode? So let me just get into it, right? Was I a chill parent in my firstborn child? The answer is absolutely not. I overthink.
Yes.
I overplan and I worry too much. Did I learn from the experience with my firstborn? Yes, I did. Did I repeat some of the mistakes I made with our subsequent 3 children? Yes, we did. Did I get more chill with each child? Yes, I did. And it was primarily because we learned to see the faithfulness of our God despite ourselves.
So good.
Did we wish we had conversations with other parents who went through what we did so that we could have learned better? I surely wish we had. So you know what? This is my dream made true.
Yay!
This is the reality that this episode is going to contain. So why this episode? Rachel and I really want you to enjoy this parenting journey, trusting the best and the most chillest parent ever. That is our daddy
most
God.
Most chillest.
If Jesus trusted his father through a storm while he slept, hey, I want some of that from him.
Yes.
Amen. And the other way about it is to learn from others who have walked this journey. We are so privileged in this church to learn from the parents like Thomas and Jane, Lionel and Jerry, Audrey, who raised her children with so little support. And we also are joined by Gary and Chen Fen. You just heard them just now, with whom we have walked an amazing journey these past few episodes.
Mm.
They will talk about what they did that worked and what failed.
Mm.
They'll talk about what they could have done better and be more chill doing it. What is the ultimate grace parenting tip for the primary school season? If there's anything I've learned from doing our own primary and secondary school season 4 times over, I'm going to say this. I'm still learning how to be a chill parent. Hallelujah.
Yeah, so Pastor, you mentioned so many names just now. So there's Thomas and Jane, there's Lionel and Jerry, and there's Audrey, and there's also Gary and Chen Fen. So listeners, please don't be overwhelmed. We will bring them on one by one, you know, pair by pair, just so that it can be easier for you to listen to their stories. All right, so let's bring on our very first guests, Thomas and Jane.
Woohoo!
Thomas oversees care groups and also the parenting life group space for parents with preschoolers. Together with his wife, they have 2 beautiful children, and their elder child has gone on to secondary school while the younger one is still in the midst of the primary school season. So they're very much in this season with all of you listeners. So hello, Thomas and Jane.
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
Please share your journey with us.
Yeah, we're very honored to be here. Let me start off by saying that, you know, I'm not from Singapore. I'm from Korea. So,
안녕하세요.
안녕하세요. I look like a chill parent because I didn't know about the Singapore education system, and having grown up in Korea, yeah. You know, I didn't really understand why, you know, Singaporean parents were so fixated on, wow, you know, which school we need to register.
Do you mean in Korea you're not so like fixated on which school?
I think they do, but I was not a parent in Korea.
That's so true.
Yeah.
And, that's true.
Yeah. So, and also I you know, there was a time that I stayed in New Zealand as well. So I was not familiar with the education system here and the culture here. Yeah. And of course, my wife is Singaporean. I wish I was more kind of tuned into how she felt at that time. Mm-hmm. Maybe I wanted to kind of like wrap myself in a way that, and I'm a chill parent, you know, I'm a restful parent, but, you know, I was not really understanding what she was really going through. But, you know, I could have been better support for my wife. Mm-hmm. In the end, you know, I began to learn that it was important for her and for the child growing up in Singapore.
Right.
Yeah. So that was my journey. Yeah.
It must have been so difficult for Jane though. I mean, I'm a parent myself, so I can't imagine if my husband doesn't understand the importance of choosing a school.
Yeah. So, you know, initially it was very frustrating.
Yeah.
Because I seem to be the only parent who knows the importance of school. And in fact, I actually seemed so fixated. Entering the right primary school is important.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the whole PSLE journey was also a fixation for
me. And Thomas would not know anything about primary school leaving examinations, PSLE.
I didn't know. You know, I thought that I didn't know that PSLE was so important. Well, I only realized when my daughter was...
You didn't even know it existed.
I knew it existed, but I didn't know what it meant.
Yeah. Welcome to Singapore.
But it is really important to Singaporeans somehow.
Over time, actually, I appreciated that we are quite different because with him not understanding it, he appears more chill. And then I'm so uptight, right? Wow. And the law is really good because by putting two different spouses together, we're so different, but we complement each other. Yeah. So many times, right, when he is chill, I look at him and I am reminded by the Lord not to be so uptight. Like, I start to ask myself, where's my trust?
Wow.
Because he's so chill and then I'm so stressed and I'm making myself anxious.
Do you know that it was because he didn't know anything?
Not intentional, right? Not intentional.
I wish he knew more.
It's so beautiful because I think you took your journey with the Lord, right? To see, hey, how come my husband is so chill? And can I take some of his chill?
That's right.
Yeah, wow, so cool.
Yeah. So like from the very start, even from day one of primary one, my focus was already on PSLE. Actually, we have two kids, right? One is in secondary school already and the younger is still in primary three.
Yeah. Mm.
So for the first child, I think for the second it got better. But for the first child, from day one, I'm training her for PSLE. You know, I have concerns about Chinese. It's so difficult. So stressful, like we don't speak Chinese at home. So it's a challenging language for us, right? And yet, on the other hand, because I'm in New Creation Church, we've been in New Creation for so long. We have been taught so much about grace-based parenting.
So true, yes.
I want to look like I'm a very grace-based parent.
Because Thomas looks on the outside like he's a very grace-based parent.
That's right.
Always flowing.
He's not concerned about the enrichments.
Right.
He's not stressed about whether she can read. He's not worried about her Chinese. Yeah. You know, nothing.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm always thinking, should she go for this enrichment? Or should she learn this?
Wow.
Or is she ready? Yeah. And then on the other hand, I think like, oh, but I got to look chill. Like, cannot have so many tuitions. You know, it doesn't look right. Like, it doesn't look holy.
Right,
or, you know, which is a lot of wrong believing. It's
so
actually,
good.
Yeah.
So good.
Mm. So I think, like, looking back, I wish that I enjoyed the journey more, that I wasn't so fixated on PSLE. Yeah. And I also began to learn that, you know, children, they actually have a innate nature to want to do well academically. Yeah. And I realized that it's not my role to drive them to success, but actually the Lord placed us there to steward them and to guide them. And I also learned that failures, right? Failures is actually their opportunity to ask the Lord for help.
So
failure would actually help, especially my elder one, now that she's in secondary school, she has her own characteristics, her own preferences, subjects that she likes and she doesn't like. She recognizes her weaknesses as well. And it is only when she has failed, then she realizes that I can ask the Lord for help and I need a savior. That's something I began to learn in this parenting journey, that it is actually not about providing solutions to a math problem or making them like geniuses, but teaching them how to ask the Lord for help is really the key to success. And I feel that's a very important. They will actually learn to walk their journey in life when they lean on the Lord.
I'll have to agree with that because I was clueless. Yeah. But in the spirit of, you know, coming in alignment with my wife, I think I'll say amen.
Whatever your wife says is good, right?
Amen. That's right.
You shared so many beautiful things, you know, Jane. Really appreciate that. You're right. You know, and I love the way you saw this perspective. And I love what you just said earlier about, you know, sometimes as Christians, we want to put across a facade that everything is cool and well with us when it is actually not cool and well with us. And I think that's one of the melodies of Christians. I feel sometimes we put up a front when it should not be. We should be just real. It's just such a take home for me. Thomas, thanks for agreeing with everything. You're not doing a marriage seminar yet today, but thanks for agreeing with everything that your wife says. Because it brings peace, harmony,
amen,
and shalom in the home.
No, and I think it brings peace and shalom in the wife's heart when the husband agrees.
Amen.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
And thanks, you know, even though you didn't understand a whole lot of things being Korean, you wanted to flow with your Singaporean wife.
Saranghaeyo.
Let me just point out three takeaways from listening to Thomas and Jane here today. Number one, God has a plan for our children which He will fulfill by virtue of His covenant with us to bless us, not only us, but our children. Number two, it's for us to tell them that God has a future and a hope for them. That's our part as parents. And I'm so glad you shared that, Jane. Number three, God gave them to us as gifts. And I think that I myself as a parent have forgotten that. They were not given to us to fulfill the dreams and aspirations which I have, which perhaps I didn't accomplish in my life. That we should live our lives vicariously or by proxy through their lives. We are not called to make them great because our God has already destined for them to be great. We are called to raise them up in a way of the Lord so that when they are old, they shall not depart from it. I just love Lee. Thanks so much for sharing that.
I really want to echo that as well, because married relationships, we have couples who are not always aligned, right? And I love that we hear the alignment. We hear that you didn't just go your own way and decide that, you know, forget it. This man does not know anything. I'm going to do everything
so
I can.
True.
Right? Like, I think sometimes we tend to get into that. Like, women tend to like just take up that leadership and just go for it, because this is so important and so vital to my children's lives.
So true.
Right? But it's not about that. It's about coming to agreement, about seeking alignment. And I love that, you know, Jane, while you were so fixated on results, on success, on like the primary school leaving examinations, you started with the end in mind. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Right? Just wanted to put this out there, parents. There's nothing wrong with starting thinking about the primary school leaving examinations, thinking about your children's success in life. But I think the point is, how far are we holding on to it?
Yeah.
Right? How far are we trusting God for it?
Beautiful.
How far are we getting alignment with our spouse for this?
How do we get there, right?
Yes. How do we get there? Are we getting there restfully?
Yeah.
And I think you called that out so well. Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing that. You know, and I think you really shared everything that we have also shared in the 9 episodes. This is like real life example. Yeah. I love it.
Thanks for confirming it. Double chop chop.
Yes, and it's so good that we get to hear from parents, right? So now we'll move on to our next pair of guests, Lionel and Jerry. Now, we've heard them in an earlier episode in the series. They've shared the journey they took when choosing a school for their children. Now, let's hear from them, you know, what's something they wish they could have done better? If they could redo this whole journey again, you know, so on and so forth. Let me share more about them. So, Lionel is the leader of a parenting life group for parents with primary school going children. He and his wife, Jerry, have three amazing children, two of whom are in their secondary school season, while the youngest is in primary school. So again, they are in this season with you guys. They've had three chances. No?
Oh, yeah.
So let's hear how chill they are. You know, having gone through the primary school journey twice, and this time is the third time, they should be really, really, really chill. Hello, Lionel and Jerry. Please share your tips on how to be a chill parent.
Hi, Pastor. Hi, Christy.
Hi there.
Thank you for this opportunity to share with our listeners. It's a real honor and a privilege to be able to speak into this. First of all, the last time you heard me, I spoke about choosing primary school.
Uh-huh.
And you now we've already chosen two secondary schools.
That's true.
So the time has gone by. Gone.
Were you more chill with the secondary school choosing?
Let's talk about that in another episode. When you mentioned that we should be better by now, I must confess that I'm not a chill parent at all. High five, yes. I'm more chilling than chill.
Oh, wow.
In the English definition, chilling is not standing one corner, relax one corner. Chilling is like terrifying. I say that because as they go through the seasons of life and I'm quite intense with certain aspects of their behavior. Mm. I micromanage a bit like Mr. Law in the house because if I hear a rude word, I see
Jerry nodding.
If I see the shoes strewn all over the place,
right.
If I see the beds unmade, I will gently but loudly remind my children.
And if they don't do it again.
Sometimes we say repetition breeds memory, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but
I'm
quite
today.
Picky with this aspect.
Yeah.
I'm not particularly as picky with their academic results.
Mm.
So if you're asking me how I could have done differently, actually prior to this podcast, we asked our children, so what could mommy and daddy have done differently? The common thing about them was they arrowed me. And they said, you could scold us less.
Oh,
wow.
Wow. Ouch. Wow, ouch.
But I love that kind of parenting because you are asking your children for feedback.
Yeah, indeed.
By way of this podcast.
But I made sure
and
there was something.
They were honest enough to say it.
Yes.
They were not afraid.
Yeah. I made
That's
sure there was
beautiful.
Something positive that they could say. So,
yeah.
Say, so what did we do well? And they said, oh, we are so glad that you're here to support us.
Oh, that's
lovely. So really, I say that by the grace of God, that even though I'm rather nitpicky and dialect, I'm very im-jim in English translation is nitpicking, but nothing beats im-jim like im-jim. Just picking on little things. Like
that's not a Korean word, is it?
No. Sorry. Not really.
Sarangheyo tikkun lae.
Kamsahamnida. So despite this kind of more intense personality at home, I think by the grace of God, they still come up to me when they need help. They still hug me and they still say,
aww.
I love you, Daddy. Good night, Daddy. And that's the grace of God in action.
Amen.
That's nice. No, thanks for speaking to that because I think there are many parents who are probably in this same space, you know, where they feel like they're very intense.
Yeah.
And of course, we are the harshest judge of our own selves, right?
That's
so
true,
we probably
true.
Think we are like super intense with our children. And I think that speaks to them, right? That by the grace of God.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, it's not by our own works, right? But it's by the grace of God that our children will lean into us and they love us.
So good.
Amen.
Yeah.
So I think to talk about how I could have done slightly differently, rather than not scold them, I would have used a gentler tone.
Well,
jokes aside, I would have maybe not taken myself too seriously.
Mm. Oh.
So sometimes as the male in the household, you are very caught up about like, you must respect me. I am the father. I am your father. Never mind about
that. There it goes.
but I think sometimes we get caught up with that sense of, I need to be respected. I need to be honored.
Mm.
And sometimes we take it to an extreme.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Definitely, your children shall be taught of the Lord. The Bible tells
us,
yes, right?
Amen. Mm.
And great shall be their peace.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't say, your children shall be taught by the father how to honor you and as parents. I think at the end of the day, I was too caught up with trying to change their behavior by my actions, by my words. And so I think I would have done a little bit less of being so caught up with, you must respect me, I am the father, I'm the head of the house.
Mm.
Of course, I didn't say all these things, but it came out of, of that belief.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So way I would have done differently is probably I would have spent slightly bit more time giving them a space to make decisions and allowing them to make mistakes.
Mm. Mm.
I think we do that a lot more with the secondary school going children because they're teenhood.
Mm.
But I think maybe in late primary onwards, we could have given them a bit more autonomy, given them a bit more opportunity to grow and reflect on some of the things that they did that they could have done differently.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. So in the end, back to the verse that I shared from Isaiah, your children shall be taught of the Lord. Yeah, and then great shall be their peace. It doesn't say they will go astray.
Mm. Yeah.
So in this in our house, we have to come back to that belief that the Lord Himself will teach the children.
Amen.
Yeah. Yep. So good. I love what you said that was quite aligned to what Jane shared earlier about allowing the children to make mistakes. Because children being children, they will make mistakes. Right? And I think giving them the space is what they need. Right, from a very young age of being in primary school, I think that's so important. Yeah, so thanks for calling that out again in your own journey. Yeah, so Jerry, what about you?
Thank you, Pastor Matthews. Thank you, Christy, for having us here. I want to say that, Lionel says he's nitpicky and he picks on the kids and, all these things. As a wife, I had to also learn and realize that he's not doing it because he hates the kids, but he's doing it because he loves them.
Mm.
Right. We're on the same page.
Right,
And, he loves the children. Yeah. And because he loves the children, he has certain expectations on them.
Mm.
And I mean, I just wanted to add that in,
because
I see him growing too in the journey.
For sure.
Right? So for me, it's my kids say that.
I love that you guys bring in your children's comments about you.
Yeah, my kids say, Papa is particular about something and you're particular about a completely different set of something. It's like, Mama, this is so difficult. Right? So I've joked about it. I said it to my oldest. I said, you're so poor thing. You have in both of us, you have everything wrapped up. We're nitpicky about different things and we have different things we emphasize on. We have different things that get us a bit more.
Yeah.
Personally, it's more, for me, it's really, I need to see its values, right? Like the primary school journey was a lot about inbuilding certain values that I feel are important.
Mm. Yeah.
For example, hard work. I don't need them to get the good grade, but I would like to see you putting in effort. I would like to see you making the effort to, plan your own timetable, scheduling your own things, these kinds of things along, in the primary school journey. And like Jane, being in New Christian Church, I had the, am I doing too much? Am I doing too little?
Yeah.
I cannot look like I'm not a grace-based parent. We are from a grace church.
Mm.
And what does grace-based parenting look like for our children?
Yeah.
And I cannot look like I'm the kanchong parent. Oops, kanchong. The kanchong parent who wants to send my children for all these enrichment. And, Lionel's the one who doesn't really care about grades, right? Okay, not that he doesn't care.
Not so much.
He doesn't have father's voice.
I don't verbalize it often, but a lot of the comparison is in my head. I question myself, should I do this? Should I sign up for this enrichment? If I do this, am I trusting the Lord?
Mm.
Am I not trusting the Lord? How much is too much? How little is too little? How much support do we give each child?
Mm.
Right? And every child is different. Right? So a lot of times in my mind, it's the thoughts of condemnation. Should I have done this different? How could I have done this different?
Yeah.
Was this decision a bad decision?
Mm.
Yeah.
Right? And I think coming from this house, what has really, really helped me was knowing that my identity is first as a child of God.
Yeah.
It's learning that, my identity is not tied to who my children are.
Yes.
Right? How they behave outside, right?
Yes, how they behave outside, what their grades are.
So good.
What are all the accolades tied to this human being? What are they good in? What are they not good in? Okay, it's really not that.
Yeah.
But it's first me as a child of God and me as going to the Lord and really just having that reset time with the Lord.
Wow.
Right? I think that helped me a lot.
Mm.
The other thing that helped me a lot was because I know I can swing on extremes. Let's do this, right? And he's the one who pulls me back, right?
Love
so it. I've learned to, okay, yes, I know grades don't matter so much to you, but can you just humor me and listen to my pitch? Right, listen to me, share these things and tell me what you think. Uh-huh. Right. So I've had to learn to calibrate my own expectations because I know I can do too much.
Yeah.
Right. So I go to the husband and say like, hi, help. What do you think about this? Right. So parenting is not easy. It's hard, regardless of whichever season your child is in.
So true.
Mm. But I'm grateful that, you know, we have friends, a community. I have a husband who to do this with.
Mm.
Yeah, wow. Thank you.
Okay. Wow, I mean, this is not a parenting podcast, man. This is almost marriage, you know. It's the way you are, you know, learning to live with each other.
Yes.
Flow with each other. I hear that from Thomas and Jane as well. I hear that from you, Lionel and Jerry.
Yeah.
It's a flowing together because what you synchronize end up being the same things that will bless your children, right? And I love what you said about breaking free from the shackles of public and private opinion, you know.
Yes.
I love that. So,
Yeah, you know, I love what Jerry pointed out. I think there was something she said about being aware of what she was like. And you know, like what Lionel was saying about like he's still learning, you know, Jerry also echoed the same thing. It's about like parenting is not something we just know how to do, right? I think everyone at this table agrees.
True.
Right? We have a child and then suddenly we're thrown into this parenting journey, right? And we think we need to do this well. We think we need to do this. I mean, people need to see us and that we are successful in doing parenting. And it's so tough. You know, there's no such thing as a parenting school. There's no such thing as acing parenting from the get-go. Right. So I love that we are talking about partnerships, about alignment, about like marriage, about I think both wives, Jane and Jerry, spoke about the husband pulling them back.
Mm.
The husband being the chill one that they can turn to, being the okay, that's for Thomas, right? I saw Lionel make a face. So the husband being the one who can anchor them. Right. But what if we're solo parenting? You know, what if we feel like, maybe one parent is in church, the other parent's not. And the parent who's in church is always trying to be the grace parent, but I'm hitting a wall, right? And what if I'm really solo parenting?
Yeah.
Well, the journey is so tough, right? The full load of parenting falls on that one person. I mean, even with a partner, it's tough. Right? I see all the parents at this table nodding their head. Even with a partner, it's so tough. So let's hear from someone who has been through this herself, right? We move on to Audrey. I think Pastor spoke about her earlier, about her being this really amazing mother who single-handedly raised two children. Carrying the full load of parenting by herself, parents, we hope her journey speaks to you. Both of her children are now in university, so she's well ahead of us. She's been through primary school, secondary school, tertiary education. I mean, this is the tertiary education season now for her. Mm-hmm. So let's see, you know, how she's been through these journeys, how she's been through her children's primary school season. She's definitely going to be the most chill one amongst all of us. Right, Audrey?
Mm-hmm. So hi, Pastor Matthews and Christy.
So glad you're with us.
Again, thank you for this opportunity to share my parenting journey. So I was that typical tiger mom for the first few years of the primary school. So I wasn't in church back then.
Mm.
So all I know is like following the worldly ways.
What's a tiger mom, if you could just tiger explain? Mom. Yeah.
Intense.
Wow.
Telling them to do this, do this, do this. And I have a diary for them and they have to tick, tick, tick that they have done it.
Wow.
Yeah. So
you could be a tiger dad too, right? Like, I mean, just for single dads out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I make sure that they have tuition. For every subject.
Every
subject. From Chinese,
in primary school?
English, math and science.
Wow.
Yeah. And then assessment books.
On top of tuition.
Yes.
Wow.
And past year's examination from top schools.
Wow.
You know, you can buy those big stacks,
and
right?
That was because in that season, they had examination every year.
Yes.
Wow.
So they have to do this. And being a single mom, go back home from work, you'll be like, marking, assessment books.
Oh no, this is so hard. Spellings,
blah, blah, blah.
Oh, full time, man.
Yeah, full time work and then doing this. So it's really frustrating and the tiger moms become more tigerish. So I know that I was up to this point. You can't see me, but probably above my head. And it came to a point also when my children, the older one, starts to copy answers from assessment books. You
know, the answer sheet behind the assessment books.
Yes, yeah. I also wonder why I didn't.
How did you discover? Yeah.
Yeah, discover because the whole row of answers are wrong.
So they copied, but they copied wrongly.
She must have missed one question. Oh, and then dear. C, D, E, I don't know. So everything is wrong. So that's how I found out.
Right.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Quite smart. But gonna get caught also. Yeah. So yeah, I wasn't back in church. After a while, my friend brought me back to church. Mm. Back to church because I know Jesus when I was 8 years old, you know, right, Sunday school, right. But I don't know Him.
Right.
I only know about Him.
Yeah.
So I came back to church and it has to be new creation church. Yep. And I'm so thankful for pastor's teaching, the wonderful gospel of grace that really touched my heart.
Wow. Mm.
And I say, wow, actually I can do parenting in a different way.
Mm.
And I took the leap of faith, quit my job because I didn't want to waste the rest of the primary school years. Primary school must be more than just spelling and assessment book and tuition.
Mm.
So I took that leap of faith. I stayed home, be a homemaker and spend more time with them. So-called playing, at the same time manage their schoolwork.
Okay, I'm going to pause you right here. Mm. Parents who are listening, we are not asking you to leave your job. We're not asking you to go and be a stay-home parent.
That's true.
Yeah, this really takes a leap of faith. Just wanted to put it out there, yeah. Right? Audrey took a journey with the Lord and she decided, right? The Lord changed her mind about how she wanted to do parenting and the Lord put it on her heart, right? Rested it in her heart to take this journey, take this leap of faith.
Right, right. And it's not easy.
Mm, yes, definitely.
Even
my eyes were
working.
Growing as you were sharing.
Even not working, the whole day being at home, right? I mean, the morning part will be at home and afternoon they'll be all coming home. There's a lot of guilt as well, condemnation and self-value. Like, what am I doing here, you know?
Yes.
What did I do? Why did I stop working, you know? But then the Lord showed me that like what Deacon Lionel say, right? Isaiah 54, all your children shall be taught of the Lord and great shall be their peace.
Mm.
So I asked the Lord, what do you mean by taught of the Lord?
Mm.
Because I just came back to church, right? So everything I asked the Lord, what do you mean by that? Taught of the Lord.
Mm.
Then the Lord put in my heart, because you have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will teach you.
Mm.
So I took that, you know, whatever pastor say, I just do it.
Mm.
And I use that and I say, wow, Lord, so you teach me, guide me. And so they still have their tuition, they still have all their assessment, but it's with a different spirit now.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a spirit of rest. Outside, maybe ganjong, but inside, actually, it's quite restful. Yeah, but honestly, the first year that when I quit work, right, my daughter's grades actually slipped. Became worse, you know. So I say, how come like that, Lord? It's supposed to be better. And then the Lord just arrested me and say, it's your pride talking.
Wow.
You think that just because you are now full-time, your children should be doing well. Yeah. But so I say, wow, Lord, okay, thank you for teaching me.
Mm.
Then when I really rested, that year, right, the second year, she got second in class.
Wow.
I wouldn't do more or less because I did enjoy the primary school years, at least the later part.
Mm.
I spent time supporting them in all their competition because they play sports, right?
Mm.
So I enjoyed the season very much. Actually, looking back, I think that's the best season because I took time and our relationship really grew and learning to rest in the Lord to guide them.
Yeah.
And so like today, right, my children are young adults. They are in university. But looking back, I really treasure those memories that I have with them. Even like last week, I was talking to my daughter and we were talking about things that happened and we were laughing because she couldn't remember them, but I kind of like reminded them, what did I do for them, you know? And they were like laughing. And I think if there's one tip that I want to share, right, with our listeners, it's like, I just remember this. God loves me, but God loves my children more than me.
Oh, so good.
It's a foundation that guides me. God loves you, but God loves your children even more than you love them. It gives me the strength to go on and rest in the Lord. Their future is okay. It's very bright.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
It's beautiful, isn't it? So one of the things I really appreciate about Audrey is her walk with the Lord. Her genuine relationship with the Lord. I've noticed this through the years with you, Audrey. Seeing how you've raised the children and how you've done such a great job today. They're just in great places.
Yeah.
You know, for me, that's tough, but you never once took it upon yourself.
And
perhaps at one point in time, you were not believing and didn't understand these things. But the minute you came to church, you took on Christ.
Mm.
He took on you and your kids. Yeah. And He says, I will not leave you alone, Audrey.
Mm.
It'll never be by the work of your hands. I will do it for you, right? And I love it. Your path took a whole different bent and God has really been there for you. So looking at you, I see a sister in Christ who really walks with the Lord and your dependence and trust. You're always leaning on Him, asking Him things, trusting Him to lead you, lean with you.
Mm.
And He has never failed you, right?
Yeah.
So I just want to say, I believe that really the fundamental difference between Audrey and me rests in this. She came from being non-believing and she was touched in church.
Yeah.
I came from being born into a Christian family and I took the church truths, biblical truths for granted. The difference is very obvious. I was, as they say, an unbelieving believer then. And it translated into my parenting in the early years. I felt then that I still had to steady the ship, forgetting that there is a God who does indeed calm the seas under my ship.
Yeah.
I think you should just think about that for a moment. I think that I needed to steady the ship, but there's a God who calms the seas under my ship, for which I was just completely blind to.
Yeah.
I thought I could do it in my strength. And that's the fundamental, really, difference between the both of us. And you just took it on because you had nobody to lean to. You had the Lord alone.
Mm.
Sometimes when we have the Lord and we have other things, we tend to lean on ourselves and not really put our fundamentals in the Lord, right?
Mm.
I felt then that my self-effort was still needed alongside His grace without truly understanding that His grace alone is sufficient for me and my children and that His power works best in my weakness.
Mm.
This translated into me being a very anxious and sometimes unkind parent with my children.
Mm.
After all, I thought then if I didn't do it, who else would, right? This resulted in me glorifying the works of my flesh and subtly glorifying my amazing ability, I thought, of being able to teach my kids my way. I mean, these are things I'm looking back and I wish I didn't do.
Mm.
I wish I leaned on the Lord a little bit more. I would have been a kinder parent. I thought being responsible, right? That's what all of the men, households and parents want to do, right?
Yeah.
You want to be responsible, right? But there's a fine line between taking responsibility, which parents generally should for their children, and taking over.
Mm.
Parents, you know that we cross that line into taking over when there's disagreement between husband and wife on methods and strategies.
Mm.
And when the children are distressed and unhappy, this is where leaning on the Holy Spirit is so important. So I just want to say in a few points, just catching what you just said, Audrey. Thanks for showing us that coming to church changed the inside perspective of your life. And this changed your outside methodology, number one. Number two, you were no longer results focused, but you were relationship oriented. I think that was so powerful. Number three, your children, I feel, and I look at you, must have picked up your resilience and strength, Audrey, because I see that in you. That didn't come from school. That came from a parent that was engaged. And that's where God took it, because He thrives on relationships. And you know how it is with our kids, right? They catch who we are.
Yes.
Many times not what we teach, it's who we are.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Thanks for being here and sharing that with us.
Yeah, I love it. And I mean, I just wanted to add on that. I think it's really about trusting the Lord, which we have all spoken about, right? Trusting the Lord that He is the one who will take care of our children.
Mm.
He is the one who will give our children the success that we hope to see in them, in their lives. And He's also the one who will be teaching them the things that we hope to instill in them. You know, and I wanted to add, you know, that I think when we come to a place where we feel anxious, where we feel frustrated, where we feel like, hey, how come I'm doing all these things but it's still not going the way we want it to go? Then may I please remind us of the story about Mary and Martha? I think this is something that speaks to me a lot because I get into that space a lot, you know, with my own child.
Mm.
And I feel so frustrated. I'm doing everything that I can. Why is it on me? Right? And why is it like, you know, nobody can help me. It's just me. There's only me. And that's when I am reminded by the Lord that, hey, you are being a Martha, right? There's still me. And all you need to do is trust me, like what Audrey shared in her story. And I love that. You know, it's such a beautiful, grace-based parenting tip that you've shared with us, Audrey. And I want to get the rest of our guests to also share just one tip, right? They've shared a lot about like grace-based parenting. They've shared a lot about like their journeys and what they have learned. And we've heard how they want to go back to trusting God about things. So let's get Lionel and Jerry. What's your ultimate, just one. I know you have many. What's your ultimate grace parenting tip for yourselves?
Oh dear, just one. I was ready to tell you three. But
come on, tell us three then. Sorry. I'm just being greedy here today.
Okay, so for many of us, we've heard how for Thomas and Jane and myself and Jerry, we lean very strongly on having people to speak into the situation.
Yeah.
And so I think the number one tip I can suggest is to stay connected in church.
Yeah. Wow.
In fact, being here at this table with wonderful leaders in the church that can speak into our lives. Yourself, Pastor, you've more than one time spoken to our lives when we were going through things with the children. But being connected means, as what Pastor Prince has shared, as being in the upper room.
Mm.
And that's the place of anointing. That's the place of where the Holy Spirit's wisdom can flow freely.
Beautiful.
That's also the place of safety.
Mm.
Because in the upper room, that's a place of where the church as a family is gathered.
Mm.
And you know, there's strength in numbers.
Yes. Mm.
And so when one falters, when one is tired, when one goes through a difficult situation, you find strength that in the community that has gone through it before.
Hallelujah.
And I think this community, being the church, being the grace-based community, we can remind one another of what Pastor has shared.
Yeah.
There's therefore now no condemnation, right?
Amen.
Amen.
You shout at your children, although you shouldn't shout anymore. There's therefore now no condemnation when you send them for four different tuition and they don't want to go for tuition. But through that sense of no condemnation, right, arises that spirit of rest and directed activity.
So
and then you know, maybe, hey, let's drop this.
Yeah.
Let's relieve the pressure of the children here and there. And I think being in a community, there's no temptation that overtakes us that such that, you know, we cannot handle. But the Lord, through the wisdom of the elders in the church, wisdom of the church community, I think the Lord is able to just speak life into us. So if you're on your own, feel like nobody will understand what you're going through, I strongly encourage you to get connected to the church.
Yeah.
Get connected to the leaders.
Yeah.
There is safety in the house of God.
Mm. Yeah. I love that. And it reminds me of what Audrey shared, because it was because of community, right, that she got plugged back in.
Yeah.
You know, she got to hear God's word and she got out of the situation that she was in, the endless cycle of like really, really mundane assessment books and like, you know, just drilling the children and all. And she started enjoying the season.
Mm.
Can I just add on something
here?
Sure,
Audrey, go for it.
Because I remember when the first time I attended parenting meeting, right, with all the leaders here, Lionel said something that till today I still remember.
Wow.
He said that God will make a distinction between the household of Israel and the household of Egypt.
Amen. Wow.
That's in Exodus. So I remember that night I went back to look for that verse. Oh, wow. And I remember that until today. I still remember that's what Lionel told me.
Yeah, and that's really the beauty of community. And I think we've, listeners, we've spent two episodes talking about the importance of community. You know, it's really so important to God.
True.
Right? It's so important to us because we have experienced the benefits of it. We ourselves have been planted in community and we know it's important. We know it has saved our lives. It has saved our marriages. It has saved our children. And this is God's idea. So we want to get you to listen to those episodes again. If you have listened to them before, if you're not, please go and listen to them and get yourself planted in community. Get yourself into a care group or a life group for parents with children. If you are doing this on your own, all the more, get into a group where people can care for you in the church. The wider church community is here for you.
Wow. Thanks, Lionel and Audrey, for your sharing that. Because when you plant yourself in community, in church, in a care group, you allow someone else to speak into your lives, right?
Yes.
Amen.
And if not, you'll think that your way is the highway, your way is the best way, but perhaps not.
Yeah.
When someone else comes in and gives you a truth, and it was the right time, right place truth that you needed to hear at that point in time, because God knows your journey and the journey of your children. And if you were never in that community space, you would have never heard it.
Yep.
If you're never mingling with somebody else, you would have never picked it up.
Yeah.
But God uses the mouthpieces of other people around us. Even those sitting around this table here doing this recording, that has spoken such life and depth and strength into the another person's life.
Amen.
So, Audrey, thanks for even sharing that.
Yes. Yeah, so Thomas and Jane, now on to you. What is your grace parenting tip?
I've been hearing just such an awesome sharing from Lionel and Gary and Audrey. Grace-based parenting to me is, I can break it down to two, like grace-receiving parenting.
Beautiful.
And grace-giving parenting. So what do I mean by grace-receiving parenting is, parents, it's okay. You know, if you don't get it right, the Lord is there with you. His grace is more than enough.
Yes.
It will superabound in your failure when you parent your children. Just hold on to this grace and receive it.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, we have this, right? Recently, I caught myself doing this. I saw my own weakness in my daughter, right? let's say I have a poor…
We all see our weaknesses in our children.
Why does that sound so familiar? I see my weaknesses in form. Sorry.
All <I'll> fine.
Sometimes, like, when I see my daughter having this, let's say, poor time management,
right.
Yeah, so that's my weakness. And when I see her having that kind of trait, I think my flesh is more worked
up
and upset.
It.
I want to change it. Then, you know, my self-effort comes in. Then it's not grace-based parenting. It's self-focused, self-effort-based
parenting.
Because
you want to change it in yourself, right? You want to change it in yourself and you don't like it in yourself, but you want to change. You want to make sure your children don't have what you don't like in yourself.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's all of us.
Yeah, that's right. So I think intention is… good intention, right?
Yes.
I want my child to have a better life. I want my child to be better than me. That adds too much demand and expectation on the child.
Oh, that's so good.
So, grace receiving parenting is moving away from that. You know, the Lord has more than enough grace for my child, right? And also, grace-based parenting starts from my mouth, our mouth. You know, putting the words of grace in our mouth and then, you know, speaking life into their heart. Their life, and just declaring God's words over them. I think that's grace-based parenting. So if I could, you know, go back in time, if I could do more for my children, I'll speak more of grace. I speak more affirmation. I'll be kinder.
You know,
that's what I would do. So I would like to encourage you to speak word of life into your children, into their hearts. Yeah. That's the one thing that we can do as a parent.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, that would be the tip that I would give.
So good. Awesome. I love that it's about receiving the Lord saying all these grace words to us first, right? I love that grace receiving parenting, receiving the word for us that our parent is not a harsh parent. You know, God is not a harsh parent. God loves us and He only has loving words for us. And then from there, when once we have received that, we can give the same kind of words that God says to us, to our children. I love it. Amen. Thanks, Thomas.
Beautiful. We want to hear from Gary and Chinfern. Come on. You've got something to share today.
I mean, you're holding back.
You're holding back. You want to explode?
We haven't heard your voice and
why didn't you just explode on us today? Come on, give it to us. Come on.
I love that because recently we attended a parenting seminar as well that was organized by the school. There was something shared that really, really touched our heart. You talked about grace receiving and grace giving. And so we were reminded by a mom who had four kids, and all four of them are pretty much grown up right now. But she started by showing us a picture of four babies side by side.
Beautiful.
And subsequently, then she showed us a picture of four grown kids side by side. And she said that her four kids all went on through a very, very different journey. The first two were pretty successful by the world's definition. They eased through primary school. They got into IB, IP programs. They did really well. They are recipients of awards and scholarships and all of that. But the other two, the younger two, had their challenges. One was diagnosed with autism, the other dyslexia. And they pretty much struggled a little bit, right, in primary school. And then also as they went on to secondary school, she shared about how they had to make deliberate choices to put them into different schools. So imagine four girls all ended up in different schools because of the nurturing environment that the younger two needed. In sharing that, I had this thought that I really teared up because grace receiving, when our kids were given to us right at the start, we received them fresh from heaven. They came as babies. Beautiful. And we say, thank you, Lord, for giving us these gifts that we did nothing to deserve and that they have a bright future. Regardless of how they were, you know, they are born, regardless of how they look, they are bright future and God, you have a glorious pathway ahead for them. But fast forward, you know, into primary school, preschool, secondary school, we kind of, I feel like even for myself, I threw that out of the window. And I say, hey, you know, we need to make them cookie cutters. We need to like catch up with the ways. Exactly, mold them into the way society wanted them to be. And we say, no, you really need to be good at math. You need to be good at Mandarin. You need to be able to speak well. You need to be bilingual. Good at coding. You need to do everything that the world wants.
Yes.
Yes. But when we received them fresh from heaven, it was never that way.
You expected nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. They came fearfully and wonderfully made with the way God gifted them to be. And so could we then at that point in time say that, you know, the Lord did not do a perfect job and that the Lord does not have a special calling from them? We would not. But why is it that along the way we lost track of that? We lost sight of that and then we get caught up. So that was just a reminder for me again, you know, Thomas, as you shared about grace receiving and grace giving. I really love the part where you talk about the fact that we needed to speak to them. We need to declare into them because that's when God gave us them. His promise is true. Yeah, and there's no shortfall in any single one of them, right, Gary?
Yeah, that's right. I will echo what Thomas said. My wife has said everything. It's just amen. Amen. No, Pastor and Christy.
Saranghaeyo, Gary.
Saranghaeyo.
There's a lot of love going around the table.
You know, listening into that seminar, we were reminded, you know, what the Word of God say. The race is indeed not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong.
So true.
Nor bread to the wise, nor wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happened to us all.
Amen.
Wow.
So I love what Thomas just said earlier, to speak into the life of our children. Because the mom said the same thing though, that our kids need us to celebrate them, love them, cheer them on. You know, we should be their greatest, biggest cheerleaders in their life. Right? Despite how different they can be. Right? But because we are in the system, you know, in simple system, right? It's not bad. It's good, right?
Yeah.
But somehow we are so caught in
the
system.
Caught up into that system.
Yeah. The temptation to make comparisons like what Jerry said and equate define success to mostly academic achievements is very high.
Yeah.
And that's where when we find that, you know, we're in that space, right? We tend to condemn ourselves. So when our children were born, like what my wife said, right? They didn't do anything to deserve our love. We believe God's words simply says that He knows the plans for them. Plans to prosper them, Amen. Not to harm them.
Amen.
Amen.
Plans for hope and the future. Right?
Amen.
But yet, as they grow older, we tend to throw that out. You know, now it's your father speaking.
Yeah.
You know, my word that counts.
Our efforts.
Our efforts will come in.
The tuition centers. The
tuition centers. Yes.
True.
You know, so I wanted to say this note. So shall it be for all our children.
Amen.
All of us are listening in, right?
Amen.
Let's be reminded that of their newborn days, when they were fully dependent on us and could do nothing to deserve our love and our attention, yet we pour out so much on them because we know they are precious gift from Daddy God. Right? If we, as earthly father, love them, how much more our Daddy God?
So good.
Right? So today, even as they become pre-primary or secondary schoolers, right?
Yeah.
They are not any less
our
babies of yesterday.
Amen.
Oh, I can still remember.
Yeah.
now they are so tall, right? It's so difficult to carry them. They're still the same person as our youth of today. If anything, they need more love, support and care from us.
Amen.
To ground their identity against the voices raging in the world.
Yeah. Yes.
And I declare that their future are all still bright, wherever they are, because it is blood bought.
Amen. 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 Paid by the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for sharing that. I'm reminded, you know, that
okay, my child is really young, right? But it's so easy to forget that my child is a gift from God that I need to be thankful for. Yeah, I think as we go into the grind of things, right, as they start growing older and older, it's even easier to forget that, hey, actually, this is a gift that we can be thankful for.
Yep.
I just wanted to add, like, we stay in a position of always being thankful. That actually, these are not lives for us to mold, but these are gifts that were given for us to enjoy. And we stay thankful.
Mm.
Then we'll enjoy them.
Mm.
Right, I think we will enjoy them. And sorry, this is a reminder for myself. Right, we are called to be above and not beneath parents.
Man.
You know, we are called to be head and not the tail. And these apply to our children too. So I'm so thankful that we get to do this. And I'm going to invite Pastor Matthews to share what he has learned today. Just one, Pastor, one key takeaway from listening to all these chill parents that we have before us.
Wow, looks like we've come one full circle. Restful parenting, isn't that what it is?
Yes.
And all good things, like all good series, must come to an end. It's interesting, restful parenting is in effect chill parenting, right? Chill using the modern vernacular.
Yeah.
The Lord wants us to enjoy our children for who they are to us,
yeah,
not for what benefits they can bring us.
Mm.
Our part as parents is to prepare them for adulting and for their success in their own marriages and their own parenting. Their future will be determined by the Lord because their own parents, that's us, were strongly determined to follow the Lord's lead in raising them in a godly manner. Is that right?
Mm.
Character and virtue have a longer shelf life and value than those other goals. What lasts a lifetime? Character and virtue. These traits are usually caught through love and interaction with their parents.
Mm.
So let me just end with this. The Bible puts it this way. By the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we shall reign in life.
Amen.
Interestingly, both grace and righteousness are not goals to be reached.
Mm.
They are gifts received. Mm-hmm. And once received, they last a lifetime.
Amen.
And the scripture says, you shall reign in life through them. Hence, character and virtue are the more dominable traits.
Mm.
Not the school you go to, the grades you get, they may last for the current season, but they may not last the whole season with your child.
Yeah.
So I just want us to remember that. At least that's my takeaway. And I'm still learning to be a chill parent. May God teach us all to be chill parents in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's all the time we have for today, listeners. Thank you so much to all our guest speakers. This wraps up our series on restfully preparing for primary school. Speakers, I speak on behalf of our listeners that we're so immensely blessed that we get to glean from your collective wisdom. We can see further because we get to stand on your shoulders. So thank you for making the mistakes. Thank you for sharing your wounds and sharing your journeys. Thank you for telling us that you've not reached yet, because we will not reach. Yeah, we are always learning. And as long as we keep learning and we keep receiving the grace of God, we will do better.
Amen.
Right? Parents, thank you so much for staying with us through all 10 episodes. We can't say this enough. We love you so much and we hope you've been greatly blessed by this series. We declare great grace, favor, and wisdom upon you and your children as you enter this new season. In Zephaniah 3:17, it says, "The Lord your God in your midst, the Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing." May your primary school journey be marked by His shalom peace and agape love. Amen.